1 and 3. And it says, "So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm and punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and delivered to us by those who heard him speak?"
Thank you, Naomi. For those of you who wish to kneel, you may so. As we pray, Lord, we need a shepherd. We're lost sheep. We need you in our lives daily, our church, our country, in this world. There's so much suffering and sin in this world now that it's appalling. We know who is behind all this, Satan, who has and is trying to keep all he can from being with you eternally. We don't fully grasp how much you love each person and how patient you are. I ask that each one of us seek your Holy Spirit and guidance in our lives daily. We ask for your care over those in our church who are suffering with illness, sadness, family issues, and financial issues. May we seek your answers to our issues and trust in you more. We ask you to bless the efforts of missionaries throughout the world who are spreading the gospel, and those aid workers in all countries who are bringing help to the poor victims of wars, famines, and disasters. And may we do our part wherever we can. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and hearing our prayers. Amen. I just want to say thank you for that beautiful song, Vicki. I can really relate to that now. I've been going through some tough times lately. And we welcome Ron Mitchell from Ashland Church to give our message today. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Oop. Hit everything. I'd like to take a moment, if we can, let's stand and give each other a hug for a moment. What a wonderful thing this morning. Need a stretch, don't you? Well, I promise I'll get everybody out of here so they can go enjoy the 2 o'clock and still have a little bite to eat before you go. Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, I pray that we will be surrounded by your angels today. We ask that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct our thoughts. Give us wisdom for the times that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many like to go fishing? Let's see. Well, I know this guy over here. He tries to beat me every time we go fishing. This spring, we might have some water, that's for sure. Have you ever fished in the river? Yeah. I have never once fished in a river. Only been up on the lake And they tell me that it's a totally different experience when you launch into a salmon and you're on the river. That's quite exhilarating. I've never experienced that. I want to tell you a story this morning. First, about a couple guys that was on the river. They were fishing. And from those that's been fishing on the river, you know that you have to fight the currents a lot. And I sit on the side of the Rogue River and I'll watch these guys going down. They're more tangled up in everything than they are fishing, but the current really does pull you quite fast. And I think I would be upset if I was pulled out of my fishing hole. Like, we've been up on the lake before and we've drifted a little bit in the wind and we're out of our fishing spot. My dad always said, just mark an X on the bottom of the boat. You know exactly where you're at. But these two men, they were fishing. And they were fishing above, I guess you would call it a low-type dam. And as they were concentrating on this time period, you might say, when you're into catching fish, your mind is watching your bait, that's for sure. But they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over this dam. And when they realized their situation that they were in, the current near the dam had become so powerful for them to even keep their boat in one spot, they went on over the dam. And below the dam, the water was dashing over the rocks, over the boulders, and through the crevices, and caught by the swirling waters under the rocks. Unfortunately, they never came back up. A few days went by. They searched for them. Divers found one day, and it took several other days before they found the other body of the other guy. Often think about that, the dangers. You know, I don't think they're necessarily limited to the physical realm. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 explains that. This morning, I'd like to go through a time period that follows in Hebrews and many other verses from Matthew all the way through. And I have an outline in the very back on a table back there. It gives all the text of the sermon in a chronological order of the sermon today, if you'd like to pick one up at the end. And like I said, it's not limited necessarily to the physical realm. We find the warning against drifting a lot in Hebrews. And sadly, it's not uncommon for us as Christians to drift toward dangerous waters, you might say. This morning, I have one simple question. Are you drifting? Are you drifting? I know for sure through my life, I have at times more than just a drift. In fact, today, 49 years ago today, I went into the Army, sitting at the AFE station, wondering what's next. I wanted to fly helicopters. I thought, this is going to be just great, nursing the hangover from the night before. That wasn't so great. Drill sergeants have a tendency to be a little bit loud, right in your ear. But I'm thankful for today. I'm really thankful. I'm thankful to be at this hospital for sinners this morning. And that's what it is. The angels that surround us this morning, they're attending us this morning, attending the people that's in the hospital. That's nice. What a wonderful feeling that is, that's for sure. But back to the simple question, would you know it? Would you really know it if you were drifting? I hope to stimulate some careful, prayerful thinking this morning regarding the dangers of drifting away from the Lord. Some things we should know about drifting, though. There's a few things that you need to know when you're on that river. First, I would say drifting requires no effort. There's no effort on our part. Just stop rowing or tracking against the wind, and if you're in a boat, you'll begin to drift. The same is true for us as Christians, which is why we are told we must give the most earnest heed, as Hebrews says in the first verse of chapter 2. Give the most earnest heed. My friends, it is an unconscious process. It is a process. It's possible to drift totally unaware. When you're in a boat, the undercurrents are often, how would you say, unnoticeable. You don't even know that the current is down below you. In a plane, and I know this from years of being flying around, the wind or the gravitational forces move the plane without sometimes you even realizing it. The same is true in the spiritual realm. Many individual Christians are slowly drifting away. I feel even some of our churches have through the years. In some parts of our country, they've gradually drifted as well. And some of our churches maybe one day may find themselves far removed from the spiritual soundness we've grown up with. Remember the current, you don't see it, and it's slow. Some of these things we've grown up with, or we seek the solid ground that we've grown up through the years, that solid ground for, say, stability. We've grown and been taught to embrace. My friends, faithfulness to the Lord is like oaring. You're oaring upstream, you might say, not downstream. You must be continually be adding to your faith. You must continue to grow in grace, as 2 Peter tells us. The moment, my friends, and it's a harsh reality, but the moment that you stop growing, you start going backwards, and you start going downwards in life. The speed downstream, it increases as you go. The dangers increase with the speed of the drift. And whenever you can hear that noise of the waterfall or the water coming, sometimes it can be already too late. When we lose sight of land, it is less possible to discover that you are drifting. You don't have any reference points. And as we move farther and farther from solid ground, which is the Lord, period, we care less and less about what we do. It's dangers. They're around us all the time, and it's danger to others, very dangerous. A ship out on the ocean, just drifting, is a hazard to all the other ships. You go into the shipping lanes where it's quite congested. It doesn't take much that you can hit another ship, even though you think it's a wide open ocean, because they don't have the control. Parents who are just drifting will lose the golden opportunities to teach their children. I've been noticing for the last number of years we have, unfortunately, less and less of our children in our Sabbath schools, in our church. Satan's very cunning, isn't he? Knows how to keep parents from getting up early in the morning, having a worship service, and carrying that right to Sabbath school. Drifting. Many are tossed to and fro. They're carried about by every wind of doctrine. And staying at home, my friends, staying at home, making up excuses for not coming to Sabbath school with their children to even learn about the doctrine and how to avoid the hazards on this big sea that we're in is a terrible mistake. We call it worldly pleasures, and they're in all forms, no matter what. You'll find that in Ephesians talks about this. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 14, it'll be in the outline. My church family, it ends most of the time in a big shipwreck. A boat adrift will crash onto the rocks and go over the falls. And for those who drift spiritually through their own neglect, there shall be no escape. And Hebrews again tells us that from our scripture reading this morning. The danger of drifting is real. It's not made up. It's real, my friends, or there'll be no need to warn against it. So I ask you again, are you drifting? Are any one of us drifting? And to help answer the question this morning, there's four common signs of it that you can see in yourself or your loved ones or others that they might be drifting. The first one is a diminished desire to study God's word in prayer. Doesn't seem as important anymore. That diminishing study. The Bible is a unique book, my friends. A source of information not found anywhere else. Nowhere else it will give information like the Bible does. And without the Lord's revelation, how could we truly know our origins, our purpose, even our destiny? It tells us of sin's dreadful, dreadful consequences. And how God saves us from our sinful condition. It provides direction for living happy and useful lives. How many like reading the stories that David has? Aren't they beautiful, the Psalms? Psalms, the very first chapter of Psalms, in verses 1 through 3, David tells us when one loses their desire to study God's word, it points to drifting. And he has a lot to say about it. Prayer is a wonderful blessing, my friend. An avenue to communicate with God, and David prayed a lot. Jesus, who loved his Father, also prayed a lot. We can see this from studying Mark, the first chapter, verse 35. He expressed this concern that his disciples not grow weary to pray. And when the Christian prays less and less, my friends, he or she could be drifting more and more. Number two, the diminished desire to be with God's people. Satan was very cunning when this COVID thing that went on. It wasn't an end time event, but it was a catalyst for him. And if that wasn't true, why do so many people stay at home? All Satan has to do is just keep us apart. Keep you from coming to the place that is the hospital. Because we're all in this hospital together. This includes attending services to God through worship, the worship service today. One should always have an attitude of David. He always talked about the gladness, the joy. The psalmist says in chapter 122:1, gladness to be with others in the house of the Lord. If we no longer rejoice in the worship of God, in the presence of each one of us, of brethren, my friends, we could be drifting. Be drifting. Fellowship with God's people extends beyond the services of the church, though. We are to be concerned with edifying one another. Pick up the phone, my friends. See how one of your friends are doing today. How many come through the church doors on Sabbath and we say, "How are you doing? Happy Sabbath." But how are they really doing? Not necessarily a smile on the face means that what's going on in their lives. How would you know? By being in contact with them. That's how. Don't let them be adrift. Contact them. Romans 14:19 tells us to do this. Such edification should occur even daily. For the right kind of friendship strengthens us, while the wrong kind can lead us into sin. And when a Christian prefers the companionship of, people of the world, rather than the fellowship of Christians, he or she is drifting toward the rocks of spiritual folly. Because it's what's taking up your time. Are you letting your time be wasted in things of this world? We can see on the news. We don't have long here. We don't have long. The third thing would be diminished desire to share the gospel with others. When one obeys the gospel message, he or she knows God has blotted out our sins, made us a new creature in Christ. A person who wants to tell the world about Jesus. What was the old song about? Come on. Yeah. Let this little light of mine shine. Don't be afraid to let it shine. When a Christian no longer has the desire to take the message of salvation to others, he or she could be drifting. We touched on a point this morning in Sabbath school. You know, this church is very active right here in our community with taking Bible studies to folks. We're doing it in Ashland as well. There's a lot of people asking for maybe something they don't even understand, but something's pricking their heart. And we may go through all these lessons and give 25 people, and we don't see them show up here. We don't see them come to church. We pray about it. We don't ever see any fruit. Sometimes we'll have even special seminars. We see each other, but we don't see anybody new. That's not our concern. Our concern is to plant the seed. Our concern is to win souls for Jesus. He will take care of the rest. They may take the lesson and throw it off to the side. They may put it underneath a cabinet. They may put it in their library under a stack of something. But they are still watching the same TV broadcast that you and I watch. And they see the things that maybe they read about. Because we were doing our part for the Lord. We were out there giving the mission that we were instructed to give. And thank you for your service. And something comes on TV and they see. And they remember that they read something that you delivered. We may not know it on this earth, but someday we may be in heaven and somebody will walk up to us and say, "Weren't you that person? You were that delivered this. And I ignored it." Till one day you can fill in the blanks. You understand what I'm saying. But when a Christian no longer has a desire to take the message of salvation to others, he or she could be drifting. And lastly, increasing thrill over things of this world, such as greater thrill over worldly honors. I'll give you an example. There's this these parents of this one young man. They were excited beyond measure over some worldly honor that they had just received. They had never demonstrated such an emotion, though, in any type of spiritual matters. And within the passing of time, the entire family had drifted beyond the point of no return. They didn't have that same enthusiasm when they were with fellow Christians worshiping in the house of the Lord. The worldly pleasures took over more. The Apostle John warns us against the love of the world and the things of the world. And the passing of time and time on this earth seems very short, doesn't it? Time is a tricky thing. The Lord doesn't say to us, ready or not, here I come. And it'll creep up on us. The world is watching right now the war going on in Israel. And they're marking time, sitting on a fence, because they think that it has something to do, Israel, with prophetic time. And in some ways, yes. But not the way the world is thinking. And so it gives everybody this false sense of security that they can sit on the fence a little while longer. Time is going to run out very shortly. Such an increasing enjoyment in the worldly pleasures can kill. Paul describes some who were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And you can find this in 2 Timothy 3. Verses 4. And if we've reached the point when we find more pleasure in some worldly activity than meeting with others to worship our Lord, we definitely are spiritually adrift. Such are some of the signs of drifting away from God. And if we are to remain close to the Lord, it will not be easy, my friends. It's no piece of cake. If you think that you might have people that laugh at you now, you just wait. It won't be a laugh. It'll be a sad cry. Because there's going to be many will come to us asking, what can I do to be saved? Sadly, it might be too late. There's some remedies, though. There is some hope here. The remedies against drifting would be one of the biggest and the best is you keep rowing. You keep rowing. That's the best remedy. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence. You can find this in 2 Peter, the first chapter, and you read from 5 through 10, you'll see about this. It also means to keep abounding in the Christian graces. I'll say it this way. There is no place for retirement in living the life for a Christian. You're not going to retire. You're not retiring. You may step down, but you're not going to retire. A pastor retires when he lays out this way. But more importantly, you are the same. You're not going to retire. Hear you this way. Every breath that you take should be in service for the Lord in somehow, somewhere. Watch out, my friends, for the undercurrents. We must always be on guard for the undercurrents of temptation. What is the heart? What does the Bible say the heart is? Continuous. It's a messed up thing. We have a fleshly nature, my friends. We have to be honest with ourselves. We mess up. Us men, we have one of the biggest problems. We'll see the gorgeous girl walking down the street. She's got, must be legs 40 inches long. We see this. Is it wrong to take a look? When does it become wrong? Absolutely. You get the winning. Oh, that came from my wife. She didn't know what I was going to even say today. Perfect timing, dear. That's right, it's the second look. See? It's warring against that flesh. We won't go in about the women, though. We'll stay away from that one. She's here. It wages war against the soul. 1 Peter tells us about it. Galatians tells us about it. My friends, expect to go against the tide. There are many tides to sweep us away. Popularity. Peer pressure for you, the folks that's young, you young people, peer pressure. You know how it is. I have to tell you. There's a lot of peer pressure, even for us as adults, in our workforces. The praise of others, modernism, skepticism, humanism, false doctrines of every kind. They're out there. I would even be cautious. Watch out for the internet. Watch out for the YouTube. There's many wonderful programs on the YouTube from our churches. But we're not. Just watch out. That's the best way to say it. If it doesn't appear, or I should say it doesn't pass the smell test, it's wrong. And what is the smell test? What do we use for the smell test? We use the Holy Scriptures. If it doesn't speak according to the word, there is all right, no light. So watch out. They are other catalysts for the time of the end, my friends. Watch and be careful. Liberalism. The worldliness, even in the church. Probably the greatest enemies of our church in our lifetime, though, is neglect. Neglect, indifference, apathy. Apathy. The lack of interest, the lack of concern. Satan knows how to infiltrate us. He knows what makes us tick. Watch out. If one drifts along with the majority, he or she certainly, my friends, as Matthew points out in chapter 7, we could be lost. We must have strong anchorage, rooted and grounded in our Lord Jesus Christ. Minds must be anchored in truth. Paul tells us about this in Ephesians and gives us lots of warning and heed, posing an unshakable hope rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. My church family, in closing this morning, the question stands, are we drifting? Are we? The danger is very real, and we would be foolish to say it any other way. Many have drifted away from the Lord. We would be arrogant and misguided to say it couldn't happen to us. And it could. Satan wants to take us down anywhere, any way, and anywhere he can. And he knows you. Satan knows you very well. He knows what makes you tick. He knows how to trip you. And what is a wonderful way that he can't trip you? Let me hear it. One is prayer. Prayer. And pray, like our Sabbath school study was today, intercessory prayer for your children, for your grandchildren. It's powerful. My mother sat for years when I walked in the world, sat in a corner, and she prayed every Sabbath. She prayed every day for intercessory prayer. It works. It works. Amen. It works. So are there signs of drifting in your life? Just honestly ask yourself this morning. Honestly, get it down to the root of it. Am I drifting? Is my desire to study God's word and prayer diminishing? That's a good sign right there. Is my desire to be with God's people not what has been in the past? There's another sign. Have I lost my desire to witness to those who are in need of sharing God's word? Am I too involved by the things of the world? And if any way that we can confess that to ourselves, you might just ask, am I drifting? My friends, may I encourage each one of us to give earnest heed as warned by the writer to the Hebrews. And I'll read it again from this morning. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proven steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? This morning, my friends, our salvation through Christ is simply too great for us to neglect, period. Especially in the times like these. Shall we bow our heads? Father in heaven, you look down this morning, you see our plight. You see what we're going through. But we don't have to be anxious. We don't need to be worried. You have it all under control. And we need to be looking and holding on to that robe of righteousness every day. We know we will make mistakes. We know that Satan has traps laid out for us. But Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit strengthen us, gives us the resolve to stay steadfast in the truth, to be steadfast for you, because shortly, very shortly, we're going to be able to look up and say, lo, here is our Lord. We have waited for him. Lord, come quickly. Get us out of this mess. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.